Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
This reading is probably very familiar to you. It's called the Transfiguration of Jesus on the Holy Mountain. This is the Feast of the Transfiguration, August 6th, actually right on this date, at Vesuvius Sunday, so that's a lovely thing. And what we are reading, what we are absorbing today in the Gospel is pretty early in Jesus' ministry, at least in Luke, which is where we're reading from today. Jesus takes three of the apostles, James, John, and Peter, and leads them up to a high mountain. And he's praying. And they look, and he is changed. He is transfigured. He is shining bright, glorious, more than anything can bleach any whiteness. And they are just struck. And they see him talking with Moses and Elijah, representing the law and the prophets, and here's Jesus in their community, and their community is talking about his departure, which will be his crucifixion. And they are, startled, and we hear Peter mumbling about making a special chair and a special seat, and then we hear the voice from heaven. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. And they come down the mountain, and Jesus says, don't tell anybody. You probably heard that before. Don't tell anybody. Why? Why? Well, things need to unfold, don't they? And of course, the rest of the gospel story carries on. Jesus going into towns and neighborhoods, and then eventually his passion, his death, his resurrection, and ascension. But this moment of Jesus' divinity, his glory being revealed to this inner circle, really, of apostles, what does it mean? What does that mean for them? When Jesus was going up to the mountain to pray, was he like having this whole thing happen all the time? Like where he just, sort of was changed and transfigured. Well, I mean, to our eyes, probably, yes, but that was just part of who he was and is. Divine and human, the Son of God. But what he was doing was showing the apostles, I think he knew what was going to happen, and he wanted them to see this part of him. So the meaning of it, I think, is yet to come for the apostles. What was it already happening? I think yes. Was that kind of thing happening when Jesus communed with God? Yes. He was really in the fullness of his divinity. But then I think the other question is, what does all of this have to do with love? So what I've kind of come to is that really the meaning of the transfiguration is only complete as Jesus comes down the mountain and gathers his apostles and goes out into the neighborhoods, into the byways, into the streets where the people are. Then they can begin to absorb what is really happening when he touches somebody who's ill, when he's with somebody who is in despair, and they receive wholeness of life and light from him. It's in the going out, the coming down from the mountain, where the transfiguration is revealed in all its fullness. I'm reminded of a saint. You may have heard of Irenaeus. Irenaeus was both a bishop and theologian, and he lived in the second century. He was born in present-day Turkey, but ended up serving in Lyon, France, and was, they think, martyred in about 202 or thereabouts. So we're talking less than 150 years, or well, a little more than 150 years after the passing of Christ. And then he was actually instructed by Polycarp, who was the teacher of John the Evangelist, they think. So there was a very direct connection to Jesus. He was really close to the Apostle John the Evangelist's teaching. And so he was really strong in all of the heresies of the day. One of them was Gnosticism. And I can't say I understand it, but essentially it was that the teaching that the human creation, we were creaturely. Anything in the flesh was bad, basically, and the spirit was good. It was this bifurcation of the human person. And Irenaeus was really strong in writing about, he just wrote this whole treatise about the fact that the creation is good. The creation is good. So, you know, that kind of seems second nature to us today as 21st century Christians, I think. We need to take care of our creation, of course, that's another conversation. But what I was really struck by, I remember when I first heard of Irenaeus, you probably heard of St. Gregory's Abbey in Three Rivers, Michigan. It's an Episcopal in our very backyard, monastery, Benedictine monastery. The monks there are incredibly faithful. They are up 7 times a day in prayer and work, study, prayer, all those things. They're really a very holy place, and I usually go there for a retreat once a year. Maybe some of you have been there. And I was walking inside their library and I saw this framed photo, and it said, "The glory of God is the human person fully alive, Irenaeus." And I thought, oh wow, that is cool. And I read it again and I read it again, and I was in a place in my life where I was really not doing great, and I would think that I was overwhelmed with anxiety and, you know, insecurities and things like that, and this was good news to me. The human person fully alive, there's more to go. God wants us to be whole. God wants us to be the full inner, to live into the full humanity we've been given. And I think that the divinity of Christ is about also helping us fulfill our full humanity. Of course, we know he shared his human nature with us. And then he also shares his divinity with us. But to live into the fullness of our humanity, I thought that was good news. So many of us do deal with things that we feel like limit or cut off our full humanity or threaten that. And I'm thinking of things like loneliness and broken relationships and health concerns. Maybe we're contemplating our own departure. And, you know, the things of economics and the stresses of the day, those are familiar things to all of us. And Jesus' divinity is about sharing with us and saying, even though you're walking through those things, I give you my life. I want you to live into the fullness. You are not a half person. You are fully human, and you are blessed, and you are loved. And I think we know that best by sharing with others. Jesus allowed himself to be seen in his fullness to the apostles. And I think God wants us to be seen in full by others through the relationship of love. And we cultivate that certainly by being together as the body of Christ. And then, of course, going out and sharing that with others, which recently a beautiful team from St. Michael's Grosse Pointe Woods was doing in spades at Crossroads a few weeks ago during a free children's summer lunch program. Who was there? If you're here, raise your hand. Yes. And, you know, so the children come to Crossroads during the summer for a free lunch. Crossroads Social Service Agency on West Grand Boulevard, where my church plant is, my home, where I will go and have a service in a little bit. And we're there Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Diocesan congregations are coming in. 13 diocesan congregations this year, covering 19 days of feeding, meals, and also providing activities and sharing, having that communion, sharing with the children and the families and activities, whatever, conversation, lots of laughs, just being with the people. And that's key to this aliveness. We need one another to help us remember who we are as human beings, to share in love. And you have certainly been reaching out, not just holding that to yourselves, reaching out to the community at Crossroads. I am always surprised when I have a deeper conversation with someone, and we're not, you know, poverty, which is often the situation with the people who I minister with. Generational poverty is such a threat. It can really lead to the brokenness of how we feel as human beings. We can't, it threatens us feeling fully alive. And I'm always surprised when I hear something about how someone has broken through that, how their wholeness is intact, how love is part of their life. One of our moms has four children, and she's raising them by herself. And fairly young, good-spirited, and I said, so, she mentioned about going back to school. And I said, you go back to school, what do you want to do? She goes, I want to be a farmer. And I was just thrilled to hear that. Like, mind blind. I don't expect that. I think, you know, this is just off the table. How beautiful. You know, and to hear that, I feel like I received a gift. I'm going deeper to my own being. Well, gee, what haven't I thought of to do that maybe God is calling me to do? And we receive, we exchange, we give this back and forth, and as we go deeper into our humanity. And it does not stop. I always think of Alva Davies. She was the widow of our priest over at St. John's Plymouth, where I was sent from. And I remember giving her communion at age 105. And, you know, she had her prayer book in hand every day. And so our growth does not stop. It continues, and God gives us that. God wants us to live into the fullness of our humanity and to be with God, to share in His glory. Perhaps there's something that you need of that divinity to help you grow and to help you heal and find that light. And maybe feels a little dim. There's lots of ways of helping that to be reignited. Most of all, we pray. We ask God for what we want, what we need. We reach out to others. We allow ourselves to open just a little more to trust, just as Jesus did with his disciples, and to be touched by it.